be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel is written to us by Luke. Jesus began speaking in the synagogue, and this is what he said. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And all spoke highly of him, and they were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. And they also asked, "But isn't this the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "Surely you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself,' and say, 'Do here in your hometown the things we heard you did in Capernaum.'" And he said, "I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own hometown. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a poor widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." Notice these are two outsiders. He's saying the insiders missed the point and the outsiders got the point. That point can go right over our heads if I don't point it out. And then we understand the response. When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built. They wanted to hurl him down. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went away. This is the gospel of the Lord. The reason I made the little comment on the gospel is because actually I'm not going to preach on the gospel. I can't miss the opportunity to preach on the second reading, which you read very well, by the way. This chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, might be the supreme piece of theology in the entire Bible. I hope you were listening, because it's all there. Everything, the whole message. And in this one short part of a longer letter, Paul shows himself to be a supreme philosopher, theologian, mystic, teacher, and psychologist all at once. You've probably heard it usually read at weddings. And that's nice. Everybody reads it at their wedding, but everybody's so excited about the bride, no one really is listening to it. So let's try to listen to it a little bit today. And honestly, I promise you I won't, but I could talk for 2 hours on this and I wouldn't scratch the surface of the brilliance of what Paul is telling us here. 2 weeks from today, we're going to celebrate Valentine's Day, and I have to compete this with our understanding of love. Our understanding of love is largely romantic infatuation that does not last, cannot last, and it's fine. I hope you all have a wonderful romantic dinner 2 weeks from today, but it won't last, right? What he's talking about is something that he says never fails and never ends. He has to list a whole bunch of adjectives to even get close to this mystery that he calls love. And of course, in other places, he and John the Apostle too say that God is love. So basically, to begin to understand love is to begin to understand God. He says it's patient, it's kind, it's not jealous, it's not pompous, it's not inflated, it's not rude. I want you to compare this to the political debates we're hearing now. And if you think they're anywhere in the same ballpark, not even close. It does not seek its own interest. It is not quick-tempered. It does not brood over injury. It does not rejoice when others make a mistake, but rejoices only with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. We'd say it's not cynical. It's not judgmental. This love, this divine love that is God itself, is an open-heartedness. And you can tell, brothers and sisters, when you're in that space. When you're in that space, and it's a space you're in that once you get it, you can't be satisfied with anything less. The energy flows out. When you're not in that space, your energy sucks in. It's all about who did me wrong, and why I don't like those people, and why my aunt never talks to me, and my husband is a jerk. And, you know, they have now proven in neuroscience that a positive thought is, I'm sorry to say, like Velcro. You have it for about 3 seconds and it slips away. But a negative thought, if you can get angry about something or hate somebody or fear somebody, that is like Velcro, huh? Just holds on. Good thoughts slide away like Teflon. Bad thoughts hang on like Velcro. And so many people, they don't realize that by the middle of life, they're just filled with fear and negativity. And our politicians know that. They can just plug into it and half of America buys in. Just talk angry and you'll get votes. Talk hateful and you'll get votes. Talk with love and, well, we're not really sure we can trust you. That sounds naive. And yet, what has Paul just said? It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Brothers and sisters, I could entirely define spirituality as whatever it takes to keep your heart space open. That is daily, constant work, because everything wants to close it down. Everything wants to make you judge and dismiss and hate and fear everything else. And if you don't have some spiritual practice that keeps your heart open in hell, I know you're going to be a grumpy old man. I know it. And I know you're going to be a hateful old woman. Because by the last third of life, that's all you have left. The Velcro has grabbed on to everything. You have to work to live in love, a generosity of spirit, a readiness to smile, a willingness to serve instead of to take. And you've almost got to put your thermometer in your mouth each morning and say, where am I? Is it the energy flowing out like God, or is it sucking in? I deserve. I have a right to. She hurt me. I deserve. Sometimes I fear that's the only language we have left in America, is this terrible sense of entitlement of what we deserve and who has done us wrong. And never have there been a people on this earth who have so much and complain so much about how little they have. It's really unbelievable. I think a saint would say the devil has you, that we can be so ungrateful when we live some of the easiest lives of anybody on this earth. And still we take offense. Still we're upset. Still we didn't get enough. Forgive me if I sound like I'm nagging. But we have to say it strongly, because we've been sucked in to a world of unlove. Just the opposite of what Paul tells us today. I was very happily surprised when I came in the church early this morning and I saw two Jewish people sitting over here dressed appropriately. And I said, what are Jews doing here in a Catholic church? You know, that isn't real common. I don't know if you go to synagogue, but we don't tend to trust other groups, do we? We all just stay in our own little tribe. So I went to introduce myself to this beautiful couple. And they are here happily and proudly to build a bridge between two religions, and ironically, it's the religion of Jesus, that have mistrusted and feared one another for centuries. I thank you for having this outpouring spirit, this generosity of spirit that is so rare in our world today. We thank you for telling us maybe what we should be like. And like Jesus, our founder and Lord, we still have Jewish brothers and sisters who can tell us how to live our own gospel. And often it takes, as I pointed out in the gospel, people outside who get the point, and those of us who assume we're on the inside sometimes don't live it at all. At all. We don't even care about it. We're just along for the ride. I know that isn't true of you, or you wouldn't be here today. So don't hear me picking on you. But we have to make the contrast clear that sooner or later, we have to fall into love and live our life from that source, which I'm happy to tell you is an infinite source. Once you plug in to love and learn how to stay plugged in there, you'll find the energy always flows out. It's never sucking in. So remember again, your negative thoughts are like Velcro. Your hateful thoughts grab onto you and they feel deserved and righteous. I'm afraid your positive thoughts, love, is like Teflon. It just rolls off. In fact, the neuroscientists go even further. When you have a positive experience, they say you have to savor it, taste it, enjoy it consciously for at least 15 seconds, or it doesn't imprint on the brain. You have to choose to be loving. You have to deliberately, consciously, intentionally choose, I'm going to love and not hate. And because so many of our people haven't been taught that, we have a country and a politics and too often even a church that is more comfortable with hate than it is with love. Brothers and sisters, you and I and all of us together can do so much better. And we will.